Hi everyone, thanks for having me today. I want to acknowledge my co-authors here, George Loomis, Dave Kalin, Tom Boving, Evan Morales, and my advisor, Jose Amador, in this project. And we're from the University of Rhode Island, and we've been working for the last 2 years on some advanced and conventional on-site wastewater treatment systems, and we noticed some differences in their nitrogen removal, so we've done an isotope N15 tracer test to really kind of elucidate what was going on with the mechanisms. So, this is conventionally what we think of as nitrogen dynamics in the drain field. We start with organic nitrogen, which can be mineralized to ammonia, and this can eventually become nitrified when we get into the drain field, and it can be lost to a variety of gaseous species. So I want to actually go through the two major mechanisms I'm going to be considering here today is denitrification and nitrification as sources of loss of nitrogen through nitrogen gaseous species. So if you look at denitrification, I'm going to start from the step of ammonia, which is after it's been mineralized, and this will be entering from the septic tank. Ammonia is then converted to nitrate quite readily in the soil drain field. And after it becomes nitrate, if conditions are appropriate, such that we have a carbon source to provide electrons and energy for the microbes, we can get reduction to nitrous oxide gas and nitrogen gas. And so these two species are nitrous oxide and nitrogen gas are what I'm going to be focusing on today with the tracer experiment. So this is the traditional thought of how nitrogen is lost in the drain field is really from denitrification, which has these specific conditions which are not necessarily always met in the drain field. And traditionally, it's thought of it being a heterotrophic process. Again, the organic nitrogen is required to fuel this. However, there's also an opportunity for loss of nitrogen during the process of nitrification, and this is not really much considered currently. So again, I'm going to kind of walk you through the process here. If we start with nitrification, again, in ammonium, when it's dispersed from the septic tank into the soil drain field, as it is converted to nitrate, this is often happening in reduced oxygen conditions because we are in the soil at this point. So under these reduced oxygen conditions, we can often get formation of nitrous oxide as a byproduct. And so this is another, again, one of the species we're going to look at today. And this is really not a very recognized process for loss of nitrogen. But we would like to elucidate and try and figure out with this nitrogen tracer experiment if we're losing nitrogen by which of these mechanisms and how much they're both contributing. So nitrification does not have the requirements of heterotrophy that denitrification does. It can be filled by carbon dioxide that we find in the atmosphere, so it does not need those anaerobic conditions and the organic carbon source that denitrification does. So we injected ammonium chloride labeled N15 into our septic system and our wastewater, and I'm going to go through the two systems that we used in this experiment just to give you an idea of how they differ. So we start with a conventional system where we have primary treatment in the septic tank. And primary treatment takes water from the house and it separates the main heavy solids by depositing them in the bottom, and the lighter oils and scum will float to the top. And then the relatively clean effluent is what passes on to the soil drain field. To control for variables such as rainfall and other nutrient inputs, we chose to represent these using soil mesocosms. So this tube here is a PVC pipe that we have pushed into the ground and extracted an intact soil core with trying to preserve all the soil horizons that were there. So for this conventional system, we collect fresh every week from two-person residents, and we collect from their septic tank effluent, and we pump this in at a loading rate of 2 times a day into a soil drain field that represents the depth of a normal conventional drain field. Water flows through the tube, through the soil, and we collect it coming out of this cuvette at the bottom to collect water samples. We are also able to collect gas samples fluxing from the top of this tube because we have a cap that we can put on this. And then these X's at the side are places where we can take measurements for soil pore gases within the profile. The other system I'm considering here today is an advanced system. And again, this starts with primary treatment, again, of wastewater coming from the household. However, before dispersal into the soil drain field, it passes through a single-pass SAM filter. This is designed to remove a lot of the organic contamination. It removes the fecal coliforms, and it removes a large amount of the particulate matter in the system. So one of the major things as far as related to nitrogen is it removes a significant amount of the carbon, and it also increases the amount of dissolved oxygen that is that wastewater before dispersal. After the SAM filter, this wastewater again is dispersed onto the drain field, and in this advanced system, because it's had some of the particulate matter and carbon removed, this drain field infiltrative surface is higher up in the soil profile, so it takes advantage of those finer particles we find higher in the soil profile for enhanced filtration, and also allows increased diffusion of oxygen since it's closer to the surface. Additionally, this advanced system has controlled timing. So where the conventional system on the left doses with use, which we've chosen to represent as two large doses through the day, which corresponds to the high morning use period and the high evening use period, the advanced system is dosed 48 times a day with small doses, so this really gives a very even moisture content to the soil. And again, we've chosen to use soil mesocosm, again with intact core, to represent this drain field in our lab. So we collect SAM filter effluent, and this is from the same source where we get our septic tank effluent. So it's a house that has a SAM filter attached to their septic tank. So we get the same initial source if we want to just spend through a further treatment. This allows us to really make direct comparison. And again, we have an infiltrative surface that's shallower in comparison to the conventional system, and we can collect water again at this cuvette at the bottom. And likewise, we also have a cap to collect gases, so we can measure gas fluxes and the same gas sampling points within the soil profile. So to kind of summarize the key points between these two systems, we have more consistent dosing and a more consistent moisture level on the advanced system on the right. Left system is going to have a peak of higher moisture content and a peak of dryness. There's also going to be more oxygen dissolved in the advanced system. We're going to have much less dissolved oxygen. It comes in as practically zero from the conventional system. And additionally, we have an extremely different amount of carbon coming in. So the conventional has much more carbon available to fuel the denitrification, whereas most of the carbon has been depleted in the SAM filter from the advanced system. So now I'd like to go through our initial results for this experiment. So these initial graphs here are going to be flux measurements. So this is from measuring a gas flux over 30 minutes from the top of these two systems. So I'm going to start with the conventional. When we injected the ammonium chloride with the N15 tracer, we also injected sodium chloride to use as a salt tracer. This way we were allowed to monitor where that slug of nitrogen was, and we could see how quickly it's coming out of the column and monitor where it was the main concentration would be as we were taking measurements. So back approximately after 200 hours is when the main slug of the sodium chloride came out. And to orient you, and I don't know if you don't see this graph, on the x-axis we have time. So this went for about 264 hours for this conventional system. On this y-axis we have electrical conductance to measure the salinity. So this first graph I'm going to show, this is N15 label nitrous oxide flux. And so again, on the x-axis, we again have a time since the start of the experiment, and the y, we have nanograms of nitrous oxide per hour fluxing from the system. So what we can see is there is an initial small peak here, which corresponded to very quickly to the initial injection of the tracer and the ammonium chloride. However, we see this much larger peak coming out, approximately peaking at 48 hours. So we really just see one small peak and one large peak for nitrous oxide coming out. And then for the rest of the experiment, we didn't see any appreciable amount of nitrous oxide exiting the system as a flux from the top. If we turn our attention to nitrogen gas, it gets a little more interesting. Again, let me orient you. We have on the x-axis, we have time since the start of experiment. On the y-axis, we have micrograms of nitrogen gas per hour. So again, we see this initial peak here of nitrogen gas, and this corresponds well with that initial nitrous oxide peak. However, after this this initial peak of nitrogen gas, we see cycling every 48 hours we don't see any nitrous oxide production. So this is probably due to the fact that as we are getting a fresh dose of wastewater, we are filling up that water pore space and reducing the amount of oxygen there, getting conditions to be sufficiently anaerobic to allow nitrification to occur. Also, we are bringing in fresh carbon with each load of wastewater that's happening every 12 hours. However, we don't see this peak of N2 gas happening at every dose, so we're not exactly sure why we're getting these peaks and valleys with the nitrogen gas, and this is something we're hoping to kind of be able to explore further as we look at the data. If we turn our attention to the advanced system, again, this is the salt tracer test, so you have EC on the y-axis and time on the x-axis. And again, we have the peak coming out at approximately 60 hours. So let me draw your attention to the fact that there are two different time scales happening. The conventional system receives a smaller amount of water at two different, but a larger volume at two different times, where this advanced system receives a larger volume of water per day with that small dosing. So things and contaminants, everything, and there's more soil, they move much more quickly through this advanced system. So that's why we can see this difference of the conventional tracer came out at approximately 200 hours, and our advanced tracer came out at about a little over 60 hours. If we look at our nitrous oxide data, we again see that there is one peak, so we don't have this initial small peak that we saw for the conventional system, but it does have a very similar shape that we get one, we are majorly getting nitrous oxide production very early in both of these experiments, and then we don't see any appreciable production as far as coming out the flux at the top after this time. If we look at the nitrogen gas, let me again remind you, there's very little carbon coming into this system, so we were not necessarily sure if we were going to see a lot of nitrogen gas being produced, thinking that the denitrification would be limited. However, we see an initial peak of nitrogen gas, which is slightly offset from our nitrous oxide flux. But what the real surprise was, and there still be carbon in the system, the real surprise was that we actually started to see a second peak come out towards the end of an experiment. And so this is really when there was very little BOD that came in with this water, and so we were kind of scratching our heads as to what could be happening as far as why we're getting the second peak of nitrogen gas towards the end of the experiment. And if we turn our attention to the gas profiles, we get a little more information, kind of can see why this might be occurring. So again, on the left, we have the conventional system, and now these are the samples taken within the soil profile, so this is the soil pore gas here that I'm showing you in these graphs. So to orient you, now we've turned everything to the side, and so on the y-axis here we have depth, and the x-axis we have the concentration of picograms of nitrous oxide as N. Let me also turn your attention to the fact that we have two time points here, so the dark circles are the earlier time point in all of these graphs, and these open circles are the later time point. So what we can clearly see is, both in this 0 centimeter, so infiltrative head space, and at this lower sample point, which is right at the capillary fringe, we can see that we're getting production of nitrous oxide in two spots here. What we see kind of in this middle time middle sample range, we're not seeing much appreciable nitrous oxide compared to the two peak peak sources. If we look at the nitrogen gas, we see a different story. We see that with an offset, we're getting one peak of nitrogen gas, and this continues with time. You can actually see that from these dark circles to the light circles, that's continuing on 48 hours later. We're actually seeing a sharper production of the nitrogen gas as we continue on with time. Another interesting thing, though, is we're getting the nitrogen gas production where we are not getting the nitrous oxide production. So this is probably having something to do with saturation, oxygen conditions, and again, we're still trying to figure out exactly what mechanistically is going on here. If we look at the advanced system, we have more soil beneath the infiltrative area, so we are again taking for more sample points within the soil profile. If you look at nitrous oxide gas, here we again see that there's two peak productions. Dark circles are the early time point, and the open circles are later. We see that we get two productions within that first 48 hours of nitrous oxide. However, if we look at the open circles, we can see that at a later time point, we've basically lost all structure and that we don't really have any nitrous oxide produced within the soil drain field anymore. And this kind of mimics what we saw in the flux profile that we saw in early peak of nitrous oxide, and after that point, we didn't really see any nitrous oxide production. If you look at the nitrogen gas profile, same thing, we have the depth on the y-axis and the mass of nitrogen gas on the x-axis. We see two points which are offset, again, by the compared to the nitrous oxide. So in both these systems, we see that at these depths, we're either producing a larger mass of either nitrogen gas or nitrous oxide, but we're not getting both produced at that same point. However, instead of losing all structure as far as nitrogen gas is concerned with time, we see that the source production, the major production point, is changing with time for nitrogen gas, but we still do see this production at the later time point in the advanced system. So, our current thoughts about what is actually occurring here. In the conventional system, we believe in this area right of the infiltration and below the infiltrative headspace. I think there's a combination of nitrification occurring, whereby we're getting N2O production due to this nitrification. And we also think there is a combination with heterotrophic denitrification, where there's that organic carbon present, and there's a higher amount of organic carbon present in the conventional system, which is fueling that denitrification using this carbon source. Additionally, with the dosing regime of the conventional system, we're getting that larger amount of water coming in at one time, and that is allowing more of the water-filled pore space to be taken up and less oxygen, which might allow conditions to be sufficiently anaerobic for denitrification to occur. However, at the bottom of this tube, and let me remind you, this is still within the soil, so the water table is just below this. So this is where we're at the capillary fringe. We're seeing more saturation occur again in comparison to this middle portion of the column. So again, we are seeing an increase in the water-filled pore space. So we're not going to have carbon at this point because we very rarely see any BOD coming out of these. At this point, we think a combination of autotrophic denitrification using CO2 as a carbon source could be combined with another electron donor. So if we don't have organic carbon, there is other reduced compounds such as ammonia sometimes is present. We have reduced sulfur compounds, and especially in the conventional system, we have a large amount of methane, and this could be donating electrons for this these microbial processes. Additionally, because we see N2 and no N2O, we think Animox is the possible mechanism here. Because if we are getting conditions anaerobic enough to reach, produce N2 gas, Animox is a possible mechanism. We turn our attention to the convention or advanced system. We think it's a similar process going on here, again with nitrification and heterotrophic denitrification. However, it's more likely that the nitrification is dominating this upper portion, maybe even possibly with a combination of autotrophic denitrification, because we don't have very much carbon coming into these systems. And similar processes happening at the capillary fringe with autotrophic denitrification and Animox, similar, but again with less reduced compounds coming into the advanced system. But the real take-home process or message here is that what we are seeing is nitrogen-reducing process happening both at the infiltrative area, which was the conventional thought from before, and now there is looking for evidence for these processes happening at the capillary fringe, which is not previously thought of. So with that, thank you, and are there any questions? We do, we took moisture, I didn't show these, I was just trying to hit the main points in this. There is going to be a paper coming out which will have all the information. We did do moisture content. We attempted redox, but redox in the soil is very difficult, and we just weren't getting any kind of consistent measurements. We did try at one point, and we just weren't getting, so we're using, we've taken soil pore gas measurements, and we take soil pore oxygen measurements as our best. This is a much better measurement of the oxidative condition we think in there. And we do take dissolved oxygen coming out of the bottom as well. And then we have moisture sensors at all the depths that we have the gas sensors.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.